Welcome to our 3 Minute Therapy podcast. I'm Dr. Michael Edelstein, clinical psychologist and author, and my co-host is Mick Berry, who is a musician, actor, and also co-author of mine in one of our books called Stage Fright. And we base our discussions on REBT, Rational Emotive Behavior Therapy, which was devised by the great Albert Ellis. Well, actually, he wasn't great. He acted greatly. He was an improv. And Ellis, E-L-L-I-S, has over 80 books. So those would be of interest, I'm sure. And what we base our REBT ideas on is that our emotions and behaviors don't come from our situations, but rather they come from our thinking about situations, as Epictetus had recognized around the turn of I think it was about 100 AD. And so what we do is we help people get over their anxiety, depression, anger, guilt, and addictions by showing them how these problems are caused by their thinking, particularly their musts. I must do well and get approval. You must treat me well, and my life must go well. Mick, did you want to add anything else to that introduction?
Just that you and I have been introduced by REBT because we employed it personally and found it so effective for us personally. And then we, because of that, will tell people about it and the benefits of it.
Right. And speaking of the benefits of it, and live pretty sane lives ourselves, because when we learned it from Albert Ellis, and he was our therapist, we learned how to identify our demands, our musts and shoulds, question, challenge, and contradict them. And we do that regularly.
Right.
Today, we're going to be discussing driving anxiety, making yourself anxious while driving. And it's not the possibility of having an accident that makes you anxious, or the possibility of getting lost while driving that makes you anxious, or none of these other problems that make you anxious, but it's your thinking about that. And some of the irrational thinking people have that make themselves anxious about driving are ideas such as, I must not be in an accident. Or if they haven't been in an accident in many, many, many years, and it seems highly unlikely, I must have an absolute guarantee I won't be in an accident. Or while driving and noticing that you might be late to an appointment, I must not be late. That would be awful. I couldn't stand it. I must not get lost if I'm driving and going to a place I'm not familiar with and haven't been before. And I must not get a speeding ticket. Can I go 5 miles over the miles per hour over the speeding limit, 10 miles per hour, 70, 20 miles per hour? And if I do, I must not get a speeding ticket. So those are some of the common demands people have that get themselves anxious while driving. Mick, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, the thing about driving is that the stakes are very high, in terms of our own safety and in terms of money that can be lost from getting in an accident. So they're very high stakes. And we know from REBT, the more you want something, the easier it is to turn it into a demand. And so when we're driving with high stakes, it's very easy to make demands on our situation. I think this is one of the factors behind road rage. The stakes are very high, and people end up having their irrationalities come out very easily and getting angry at other drivers if you're cut off And if things don't go your way, if somebody doesn't let you into traffic, you're dealing with other people all the time, and everybody has their own set of priorities and their own set of goals they're trying to achieve when they're driving, namely getting from one place to another. And sometimes when we're in a hurry, it can heighten the, or we will easily heighten our rationalities when not only are the stakes higher, but we are in a situation where we are feeling a necessity to get to a place on time and finding it difficult to do it. And it's a perfect example of when our goals are thwarted or possibly thwarted, that is when we can disturb ourselves.
That's right. So I think that's a very good point that the more important something is to you, the more likely you are to make it into a must. And the reason for that is not because you were abused as a child or anything that Freud might tell you, but because you're human. And as you're saying, Mick, humans have the tendency to escalate their preferences into demands. Yes, Mick?
Yeah, and I was going to say that we in our EBT, we encourage people to keep their desires, even their very strong desires. Whereas I've heard people say in certain philosophical idea or groups that claim to be spiritual that they want to get rid of all their worldly desires, which I think is utterly ridiculous, and I think REBT says it's utterly ridiculous too. If you're in the habit of turning your strong desires into a demand, simply work on not turning your strong desires into a demand, and then you can enjoy your strong desires. So REBT advocates retaining your desires, get rid of your demands.
Yeah, and one of the mistakes people make in trying to get rid of their strong desires is by going to the other extreme and saying it doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter at all if I'm late, or it doesn't matter at all if I get lost or I get a speeding ticket. But that's the other extreme. So, as you're saying, Mick, keep your strong desires, work toward achieving your strong desires. That's what makes life interesting and challenging. But don't convince yourself it doesn't matter at all, because it does, because you'd like to achieve your goals. Mick?
And I often have heard people say, well, REBT doesn't offer any solutions. It says that you're a fallible human and that's the reason that you're irrational, but that's actually not true in the least bit. Our REBT does offer the solution by accepting yourself as a fallible human and working on being less fallible. I can tell you unequivocally, I'm so much less fallible with my rational thinking now than I was before I started REBT. So even though we are human beings that are fallible, we can grow in our corrections of our fallibility and in us being not fallible, but actually quite rational and reasonable. And that's what REBT advocates. Practice, 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 getting better at eliminating your demands while remembering that you don't want to demand to get rid of your demands because that is the most self-defeating attitude you can have. But that doesn't mean you can't get rid of most of them. You can, but don't, if you demand to get rid of your demands, that's impossible to get rid of demands because you're making a demand to get rid of demands, and that's utterly nuts. But it's practice, practice, practice. It gets easier and easier and much
Yeah.
more effective. So that depression and anger and anxiety diminish and even go away entirely. And if I have anxiety, it might be for a minute or two or something like that, but that's about all it lasts.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, demanding you get rid of your demands don't make sense. That's called secondary disturbance. And if you're interested in learning about that, I just checked our other po our podcast that we did on secondary disturbance.
Right. And that's also,
Yeah.
Another aspect of REBT that's very good, it recognizes secondary disturbance and it accepts us all as fallible human beings. And part of the training, part of the learning and application is to know that we don't have to be infallible. We can still be largely rational while still capable of making demands, but minimally, as Albert Ellis said, largely so.
And
Largely rational.
sorry, Mick, did you want to say something more there?
Just largely rational.
Yeah. And my last word here, since we're coming to the end, is as you were talking about the importance of practice, practice, practice. And one of the main ways of practicing uprooting your demands is to write them out and write out all the reasons why your demands are false, and all demands are fictions. There's nothing you must do except die one day, but it's in terms of psychopathological musts, there's nothing you must do. So write out your musts, identify your musts, and write out all the reasons they're false. Mick, did you have a last word?
Well, tell me what you think of this. I think it really just comes down to us recognizing that we don't have to get what we want, no matter how much we want it. We don't have to get what we want, and we can accept that life doesn't necessarily go the way we want it to go. However, we can strive to get what we want, and a good part of the time we do get what we want. But demanding to get what we want actually makes it harder to get what we want.
Okay, great. And just to close up, I want to remind you that I'm Dr. Michael Edelstein. I'm a clinical psychologist. I've written 5 books. My latest book is called How to Be Laid Back, Yet Accomplish Stuff, which is basically on procrastination, 17 ways to deal with procrastination. And we're here with Chris Rossini, who's our tech engineer. So thank you for viewing. If you have any comments, put them below, or questions, put them below. Give us a thumbs up if you like this. Suggest subjects you'd like us to address. Volunteer if you'd like to be a guest on our program. And subscribe to the 3-Minute Therapy podcast to do what, Mick?
To stay on the rational side of life.
Well said.